This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Well, to say we've had a dramatic day is really the understatement of the year, because global oil prices have fallen very sharply. Stock markets have jumped after the US and Iran agreed to a conditional two-week ceasefire deal that includes the reopening of the key Strait of Hormuz. Many were predicting nightmare scenarios just 12 hours ago, Nick, and now here we are with markets soaring and oil prices plummeting. So there's a lot of people out there who like this news, but of course we should be cautious.
I think it's a fair way of looking at it. And, you know, we briefly spoke before starting the podcast mentioning that sentiment going into last night was, my goodness, was it poor. And for good reason. Some of the headlines and tweets that we saw or posts that we saw in the last 48 hours were pretty glaringly scary, to put it in a word, about uncertainty about how things would go down at the Trump ultimatum deadline that was given. The threat to strike energy facilities and power plants, et cetera, infrastructure that would, of course, impact civilian life as well as global oil trade as well. I mean, very, very scary stuff. And we were on the brink of it, but it was like something out of a movie in the sense of the timing of this. I mean, this took place, Johnny, at 3:45 p.m. The stock market closes at 4. I mean, this stuff gets written in a book somewhere. It's like the timing is just fascinating here, because, you know, and this is something I think that is intentional, in the sense that the timing of good news tends to be when the stock market is still open, and the timing of bad news seems to happen when the stock market is closed or over the weekend. I think that is part of the strategic approach that the White House does with this stuff, in regards to delivery, timing of releases of these things. But from, as always, a humanitarian standpoint, it's good to see some kind of a ceasefire. Loss of life is something that we obviously do not celebrate. And when it comes to markets, the markets also celebrate it as well. We have a global equity surge here in response to this. Oil prices falling sharply here today in regards to the ceasefire deal, which will see the Strait of Hormuz supposedly opening up and allowing a two-week grace period. I say supposedly because I think you used the word caution. I think that's a good word here, because ceasefires are a lot of times messy. And what I mean by that is, we've seen this in years past with ceasefires between Iran and Israel. We have seen ceasefires. They can very quickly become muddy, where both sides can kind of say, oh, well, they're breaking the ceasefire and do these sorts of things. So let's hope, let's be positively optimistic and hopeful that there is truly some kind of coordination to this, I should say, peaceful ceasefire that allows trade to or ships to move out of the Strait of Hormuz, and then perhaps gives both sides some time to negotiate further. And, you know, we'll see exactly how things play out. I do think, in my personal opinion, that the Trump administration very badly wanted to have some kind of negotiation. And I think at the same time, Iranians, while posturing, both sides posturing for a strong, you know, position, I think both sides were wanting to see kind of a concession from the other, some sort of you know, move forward with negotiations type of approach. So I think for now, we have to watch carefully, because things could turn south at any moment, and that is part of the concern that's still in the markets. However, the mechanics here of this market today are worth mentioning. The dollar index is down 1%. The volatility index, the VIX, is down 21.5% here today. Volatility getting completely contracted following this very binary event we were expecting last night. Crude oil and U.S. oil both moving down dramatically, with U.S. oil down 16%. At the time of recording. You have gold moving up 2%, silver moving up 6%, which I have seen some confusion around that, but If you take a look at yields this morning, that does make a lot of sense. You have yields sharply lower, suggesting that maybe all of that inflation fear that has been pent up for a little while here in regards to high oil prices could maybe, just maybe, be getting worked out of the market. And I say that very carefully because, again, this is a ceasefire. This isn't a done deal. And so we have to watch closely.
And Nick, even in the best scenario where this ceasefire holds, we're still going to see oil prices a lot higher than they were just 6 weeks ago, whatever happens in the next few days and weeks, because there are so many factors. We've seen infrastructure in the energy industry really affected by what's happening, and it's going to take perhaps years to fix the damage. There's a lot of time to go before we get back to what we regard as normality. And even then, there are some who are predicting a recession on the back of what's happened, whatever happens in the next few weeks.
I saw something interesting too, Johnny, this morning. I was browsing, and one thing that has been pretty clear is that one of the big points of contention for the Iranian side of this is that they want some kind of authority over the Strait of Hormuz. And to your point about elevated oil prices, barring everything else, infrastructure damage, you know, just some sort of elevated uncertainty, maybe not necessarily between the U.S. and Iran, but Iran and other places. I mean, this is beyond just U.S. Iran. There are multiple parties at play here, many of or much of which why people have compared this to the Ukrainian one, saying this is a more complex issue in the sense that there's many parties directly involved. So let's get back to that point, though, about Iranians wanting some sort of authority, sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. That, to me, is a challenging one because they are unlikely to want to give up their you know, special weapon, if you will. I mean, this is their economic weapon. That's what they've self-coined this as. They don't want to give that up. And meanwhile, other nations are calling it illegal to close the Strait of Hormuz, as there are other nations that also use the Strait of Hormuz. So very interesting stuff there. I also saw something this morning. I don't know how serious this is, and I would encourage listeners to go look this up on their own. But I saw a brief mention of potentially having a joint Iran and U.S. control of the Strait of Hormuz and taxing ships to an extent that go through the region. I have no idea how legitimate that scenario could be, but it's an interesting one. And I think the big thing for Iran seems respect of their authority of that region, and the big thing it feels like for the U.S. is nuclear weapons deal being kind of signed over and done with. So fascinating stuff, to say the least.
Yeah, that joint deal, although I'm not quite sure how serious it really is, sounds very Trumpian, doesn't it? The United States could make billions of dollars off the back of it, but I can't really see the Iranians agreeing to that. Quick question for you, though, Nick, because as we know, we were expecting rate cuts from the Fed and the Bank of England over the next few weeks. That's definitely off the table at the moment. But this news over the last few hours, has this affected, in terms of the future rates, has it affected the number?
It has. Not necessarily any time in the short run. We still have, and I think that that's logical if you think about oil prices based on our previous discussion. The market is aware that, you know, oil is probably going to stay at least elevated for months to come, even if it doesn't have a, you know, blowout shock to the upside. It is likely to still remain elevated, and that is going to take some time to work through the system. Granted, we had been in previous episodes talking about the increased possibility of a rate hike by end of 2026. That seems to be being priced out of the market, and odds are now shifted back in favor, at least according to the Fed Watch tool, which looks at Fed fund futures. Basically, it's now kind of back in the camp of a slight lean towards possible rate cuts. But the base case here seems to be our next rate cut, all the way out until June of 2027. So no rate cuts in the short run, at least in the eyes of the market. And I think that married up with the strong jobs report that we saw last week and a good round of economic data in the United States kind of makes sense as to why maybe rate cuts are just on pause despite the come down in oil prices. The other part of that is we don't know how long these oil prices will stay down. Will they jump right back up? Again, nothing is certain. Nothing is written in stone just yet with this whole situation.
Excellent stuff, Nick. We'll speak to you again on Friday. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Shani. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.